Hello, it's John, and I'm interviewing a lady called Holly Elsden this afternoon, and she has an office which is quite palatial, actually. You must come and have a look sometime, above Saker Baker's on Halifax Road in Todmorden. And it really is quite a setup. I'm looking at thousands of books, literally, and it's all about folklore, myth and legend and all that kind of thing. And I think this is fascinating, especially as it's next door to the Hippodrome Theatre, which is all about make-believe and magic as well. So, Holly, can I ask you, how did you come to be, first of all, interested in this line of work, and then why did you choose Todmorden?
Well, I happen to be in Todmorden anyway. I've been here since 2008, which, just family reasons, brought me to Todmorden.
Right.
So I've been knocking about Todmorden for a while. Obviously, I used to be, people will recognise me from having been involved with Saker before now. I've worked in the shop and in the bakery before. But I wanted to move out of the bakery whilst it was, it's a lovely business, obviously. It's not my thing. I wanted to get back to where my heart lay,
really.
And this was an idea that just popped into my head. Weirdly enough, I woke up one morning and thought Todmorden would be an amazing place to have a folklore centre.
Right.
It's just got that sort of vibe. It has, it has so much folklore. The landscape is full of stories which need to be, told and celebrated and engaged with and kept hold of in lots of ways. Sometimes these things don't get passed down anymore. And it's important to retain those tales. The ones that are mostly kept hold of are the ones to do with the landscape and the features in the landscape.
Yes.
But one of the areas that I would like to expand upon is anybody who has memories of sort of folklore stories to do with the mills, which doesn't seem to have been recorded anywhere. So in terms of a sort of Todmorden focus, that was something that I felt that, there are lots of stories that haven't been told, that aren't being written down, that need to be kept hold of. So in a very sort of local sense, it just felt like there was a lot of about Todmorden that lent itself to having a folklore centre. There are lots of, obviously it's a creative that place, the Upper Valley has a reputation for being
very vibrant, creative
place with lots of people who are working with folkloric ideas. And again, there's not a space for people to get together. So I found that there were lots of disparate people working in various areas that do all relate to folklore as a general discipline, but nowhere really for people to get together and discuss those ideas. And then going even further afield, the North is not very well served. As somebody who is interested in attending conferences and events to do with folklore, a lot of them tend to be down south.
Do you mean it needs levelling up?
It needs levelling up, yes. So from a very sort of very local level to the sort of the wider remit of how this centre in Todmorden can serve the local community, the community of Calderdale, but then the wider community. The more I thought of it, the more I felt that there was a need for this to be here.
Right.
I set up in 2019. I held one event before COVID, and it was a sellout success.
All right. So where did you hold that then?
I held that at Field and Hall.
Oh, yes.
Which is a beautiful place to hold an event and terribly atmospheric.
Mm,
We had a wonderful lineup of speakers and a performance from Mark and Tracy Norman, who are based down in Devon, but do an incredibly emotive performance about witch trials and
sort of, yeah, right.
the human story behind it, sort of how people were treated, how those accusations came about. There wasn't a dry eye in the house.
No, when you
come the end of it. So it was a good, it was a really good event, and it was very well received. I had a film made of the event, which is available on YouTube.
Oh yeah.
If you just put Centre for Folklore, Myth and Magic Todmorden into the YouTube search, you can find that film.
Oh,
and a lot of the feedback was, you know, this is very welcome, this idea is very welcome in Todmorden and in the north.
Right.
So
since that inaugural meeting then, I know COVID's got in the way of so many things, hasn't it? Have you been able to hold more sort of group sessions?
Over COVID, obviously, it was a real shame because we had a wonderful conference also to do with fairy lore planned in the town hall for May 2020.
Oh, right.
But that one fell by the wayside.
Oh, what a shame.
The calibre of speakers that were coming to that, the topics being discussed, was... Yeah, you know, it would have been great, but unfortunately that one didn't happen. Though over COVID, I did manage to hold some social media events. So I did move the fairy one to Twitter, and that was just nice because everybody just sort of contributed and we just shared a lot of fairy lore, and everybody had a good day.
Right.
And we did again the same with ghost stories. So we had another one on social media with people just sharing their ghost stories and ghost lore, very much in the style of people who are aware of social media. There has been in the folklore community a wonderful event called Folklore Thursday. Sadly, a victim of its own success, it was so popular it got too big, unfortunately, for the two people who ran it. But Folklore Thursday, they're not gone away completely. But it's just been a way for people to sort of engage. And again, over COVID, Folklore Thursday was extra important because it was a way for people to get together,
right,
even though we couldn't physically get together.
No, so you did it by Zoom and that kind of thing, did you? Or
Mainly on Twitter.
On
that
Twitter,
one.
Right.
I did do some workshops with a storyteller from Scotland called Amanda Edmiston, who's absolutely amazing, one of two professional storytellers in Scotland, who does a lot of work on folklore of plants. So we did sort of a series of workshops with stories and then craft-based activities, just all on Zoom, so that was quite nice. So we sort of kept it going, but it was obviously difficult to sort of hold the types of events
that you really wanted to aim for. Yeah. So with these events, are you able to sort of, you do record to a degree, are there hard copies of these things? I mean, how would people access the things that you do? Say, you know, I have no idea about what you do. And if I wanted to find out more about these sessions that you've been talking about, what would be my best way to go about that?
Unfortunately, at the moment, those haven't been recorded. I mean, this is, as I say, the idea for this just popped into my head and wouldn't let me go. And I haven't been funded. I've done this all just through my 3 years of just me
really
slogging along, trying to get it up and running. I've spent an awful lot of time networking across the country with a variety of academic institutions who work with folklore, the Folklore Society. I've been out there and I've spoken to people. I've just got to know who's in the folklore community is incredibly welcoming, and it's a lovely place to be honest.
Right.
And it's, even though I sort of felt like some sort of, you know, hello,
yes,
I really want to do this thing, but I don't know much and I don't have a background in, well, sort of an academic background in folklore, just a sort of an avid interest.
But then
the history of folklore is littered with independent researchers and people going off and collecting stories who don't necessarily come from that background.
No.
But so folklore does have that sort of history of the lay person, as it were, driving it forward.
Right, a bit like music. People will go around collecting tunes and things like this and adapting them and so on. Right. I mean, this last weekend, I think you've just about recovered from going to York, haven't you? I mean, that was quite something, wasn't it? Meeting people, you know, fairly high up in the folklore world.
Yes. Yeah. No, that was fantastic because, yeah. As I say, I have got to know some really wonderful people. I think I just was going to quickly just say, obviously, because it's just been me just driving this and I haven't had any funding.
No.
So in terms of things like the computer equipment that I would need
yeah.
to record and get things accessible if people are not in person, that's something I'm aiming towards, but I haven't quite got there yet. Mm. But we have finally got the internet in the centre.
Yes, I saw them installing that the other day.
So
is it working?
It is working. Oh, I have but this is basically the only computer equipment I have at the moment. But as soon as we start getting some more funding in, and people have been very kind, and I have had some wonderful anonymous donors. Sort of coming along, just sort of going, we'd really like to help out, we really believe in what we're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have had a lot of help from people who are just very keen to see that the project up and running.
Mm.
So, but yes, we will get there on the tech front.
Yeah. So I would imagine.
And things will be recorded. Mm. And of course, because a big part of what we want to do here is to have archives, so it would make the most sense to obviously to archive everything we do for a start, and then to try to gather more archives from, as I say, sort of gathering things locally or sort of from, you know, being part of other projects or, you know, taking part in links with other organisations or academic institutions. That was a big part of what I was talking about in York yesterday, was the importance of the relationship between the work that is done on folklore in academic institutions, but how important it is for not only for that information to then be disseminated to get among, you know, in to general public, for want of a better word.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But also how folklore is the lore of the folk.
Yes.
So academics can't carry out their research really without engaging. So it's a two-way relationship.
Yes, yeah.
So, you know, how can we, as a centre that is, you know, committed to research, to archiving, to putting on events and trying to make things accessible for people, you know, possibly bringing in sort of academic speakers into the community to provide a platform that people can access information that they might not normally have access to, but also how we can then help to archive and gather information that then contributes to research.
Mm.
It's a big remit.
Yes, of course it is, yeah. Yeah. You see, you mentioned earlier about, you know, the work that used to go on here, the mills and all that kind of thing, and Tobbledon was very much based on industry. I mean, that was the whole ethos of the place, by industry we prosper, was the motto, wasn't it, of the town. And a lot of the generations of the people who worked in the mills are, of course, dying out now. Mm. And I've often thought it would be interesting to talk to a lot of people who used to work in the mills and the language that they used for different processes and so on. But that's probably not quite what you do, is it?
Well, that is folklore. I mean, folklore is such a wide area of study, which makes it interesting for me, because you can sort of dip in and out of all sorts of different, you know, we can go from Alan Godfrey and UFOs to language used in mills and words that maybe are dying out. That's still the lore of the folk.
Yeah.
It does encompass everything that we do, traditions, superstitions. I mean, that would be interesting, what sorts of superstitions did people carry out when working in mills? There must be specific areas of sort of...
Yes, I bet there are. It's bad luck to do something
exactly, or
whatever.
Or sort of very sort of traditional behaviours. So things that sort of, you know, oh, before we do this, we do this.
Yes.
You know, and those sorts of the ways that people live their lives and the things that they do and the, you know, often things that people don't think of as folklore, it is folklore. Right. It's all to do with the way that we live our lives, the way that everyday folk go about their lives, and the things that link us together.
Mm.
You know, mm. give us meaning.
Yeah.
So all the sort of signifiers. So say like things like wearing a wedding ring. I mean, there's no sort of factual reason for doing it. It's symbolic. It's yes. folklore. We do it for a reason, but it links us together. We understand.
We understand
what
this purpose is there.
Yes,
yeah,
what
yeah.
that represents. Mm. And there's, yeah. I mean, that's a sort of very basic example. Yeah, but there are lots of other things that we have in our sort of cultural groups that folklore sort of gives us an identity. It forms sort of who we are and what we do and what our traditions are, what our rituals are.
Yes, yeah.
And
why we do them.
And why yeah. we do yeah. them. And it tells us sort of about ourselves. It tells us about how we think. It tells us about our beliefs. I mean, the history. I mean, I'm really interested in the history of the church.
All right.
In
Tomlinson, yeah,
because obviously with sort of the Quakers and the Methodists,
yes, yes,
and
yes.
that has got very different sort of folklore attached
absolutely.
To it,
yes, yeah,
and very different traditions mm-hmm. and very different,
mm-hmm.
but that is all folklore, and that's what makes Tomlinson a very interesting place,
right?
Because of the way of the intersection between the beliefs of the people and the way we interact with the landscape,
Right, it's there, isn't it? So that's absolutely fascinating. Thanks for that. And if people wanted to sort of join in and find out a lot more about this, they perhaps have a better idea now of the sort of things that they might have been a bit shy about talking about and think, well, that's not folklore or whatever. It actually is. Mm-hmm. So how would they get in touch with you and take their interest further forward?
Well, obviously there is the option to physically come into the centre. Obviously we are up the stairs. I know that is we've been very kindly given this space by Seika. But obviously I'm aware of the accessibility issues on a daily basis.
Yeah.
But you can always shout to me from the bottom of the stairs and I can come down.
Right.
There is the library here, obviously, if you are able to come up and use the library. It's come from the Museum of Myth and Fable. We've been given this library. Mm. Sadly, they lost their space at the university, but that has meant that we have now got a library of thousands of books on folk fairy tales, folklore, history of local history, history of religion. And it's growing. We're having donations come in all
right,
the time
I
now,
see.
Which is really lovely because people realizing the importance of having an archive of this sort of material in Tomlinson and having it available to people with a very small membership.
Right.
I keep saying
yeah.
a fiver for a year. It's two cups of coffee. That's not too much. I've tried to keep that low.
Oh, all right, okay,
so,
that's good.
But that means that it's sort of... And then once that goes online as well, so you will be able to then access the catalogue online, so you can look at, find out what books are here and
yes.
what archives we do hold. So that will be available. So for anybody who can't get upstairs, you can still come in, go, I really want to look at this book, and we can bring it down. So
yep.
there's always that option.
Right.
So, and then all the events that we hold are always going to be downstairs for full accessibility.
Oh, I see. Right.
So all the events. So when we get speakers coming along, and there is a whole amazing programme of speakers coming to talk about all sorts of different topics that is starting to come together for this year.
Right.
And lots of surprises.
This programme is going to be available online, is it?
So I am active on Facebook.
Yeah,
so,
all right.
So on the Centre's Facebook page, there's an events tab. So you can look at all the events that are coming up there, but obviously see the things that we're up to as well outside of Tomlinson. Because we do sort of go other places, like
yes.
we were in York yesterday.
Yes, yeah.
And the website. So that's a nice, easy one. www.folkloremythmagic.com.
Oh, manage that, right.
Okay. And there's always posters in the window, and I try to put the posters in the TIC as well. So TIC are very, very, very supportive as well. They've been brilliant.
Right. And obviously you got in the Tottenham and Hebden Bridge paper. That's how I came to see
it. So, that was brilliant.
Yeah. Right, okay.
So fingers crossed, people should start to sort of see that there's things going on, and I'm hoping that again it sort of starts to bring people into Todmorden.
Yeah.
You know, say you live in Manchester and you go, let fancy a trip to Todmorden this weekend. Let's see what's on at the Folklore Centre.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds a wonderful idea for a day out. Yeah,
exactly. And it, you know, people can come and have a day out in Todmorden, go for a walk, have some lunch, see a speaker or a storyteller or a workshop.
And make a day of it.
And make a day of it.
Okay. Well, thanks for that. That's been fascinating. And I'm a lot wiser now than I was when I came in. So thanks, Holly, and all the best with what you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.